it would be my longest trip to Las Vegas ever.
Oh, yeah.
5 days and four nights. I usually go crazy after just 2 days there. Then I have to rent a car and escape to the desert. For me, a trip to Las Vegas isn't so much a vacation as it is an endurance test. It's only Tuesday. How am I going to make it all the way to Saturday? I'm Jeff Hoyt. Welcome to Hoytus Interruptus. Ultimately, we went with one of the more expensive ways to make Vegas more tolerable. We gave ourselves the gift of entertainment, saw a different show every night, and I was excited to see Cirque du Soleil's tribute to the Beatles. George Martin's mashup masterpiece of the Beatles' greatest music is called Love, and it plays on 6,000 speakers inside a spectacular theater at the Mirage. Breathtaking show, but a little jarring, too. I mean, the Beatles were pre-MTV. I, for one, have my own pictures that go with those songs. During Within Without You from Sgt. Pepper's, a bed rises to the ceiling and unleashes a massive, billowing white sheet that covers all 2,000 audience members as psychedelic patterns are projected onto the fabric. We gazed up at the sheet suspended just beyond our outstretched fingertips, and I said to my friend Brent, "Oh, yeah. When I first heard this song, this is exactly what I imagined."
We were talking about the space between us and the people who hide themselves.
Yeah. Good point, George. Illusion. Vegas is certainly all of that. I remember our very first trip to Vegas. It was during the pre-implosion era, back before those tacky old casinos started getting replaced by the shiny new ones. My wife was a travel agent back then, and we wanted to see the Grand Canyon. I figured we'd land in Phoenix and drive north. Cindy had another idea.
Yeah, she looked at me with the cutest grin and asked me, had I ever been Vegas? I said, no, I'm not the gambling type, but I've seen that movie 16 times with Elvis. She said, life's too short to live like this, and with a little kiss, we sang bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye.
First night, wandering around on the strip, mesmerized by all the lights and the noise, we fed our money into the slots, lost a few hands of blackjack. And then came my most enduring memory of our first night in Vegas. It was a roulette wheel at Caesar's Palace with this very wealthy gentleman wearing a cowboy hat. He was laying stacks and stacks of chips on colors and numbers and intersections of numbers. He had erected a veritable city skyline of chips. But he was the only one at the table. How fun could that be? He seemed kind of pathetic, so we joined the game. We put a $1 chip on 27. Then came the spin of the wheel, and when the marble fell into place, it sat on 27. Cindy and I had won $38. We whooped and hollered and jumped around while our playing companion watched thousands of dollars disappear like it was nothing. And that was quite enough for us.
She said, life's too short to live like this, and with a little kiss, we sang bye, 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 bye.
We walked away with our winnings.
Bye, 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 bye.
While our cowboy friend played on.
Bye, 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 bye.
Easy come, easy go. And we thought to ourselves, so this is Las Vegas. My most recent trip to Vegas, though, wasn't as a tourist. I was there on business. It was a conference for voice actors, such as it was. Right next to another conference there in the same hotel. A rather poorly named event, I thought. The Rape and Sex Crimes Training Conference. I don't know, I think they could have worded that better. Meeting me there in Vegas was my good friend Brent. Each of us had visited Vegas separately with our respective families within the past couple of years, and both families were driven just crazy enough by the crowds and noise to be sent screaming off into the desert a little early. So on this trip, knowing that Brent and I would both be setting our personal endurance records with four nights each in Vegas, we knew that constant distraction would be our best strategy, so we skipped out on our eminently skippable conference every night. We saw shows, ate at nice restaurants, and except for my sacrificial surrender of $20 to a bank of slot machines, took about 5 minutes, we pretty much ignored the casinos. So this was a good way to do Vegas. The distraction strategy was working. Cirque du Soleil, amazing. Oh, and I especially enjoyed Blue Man Group. What a show! It was my first time. I loved it. There was this one deja vu moment, though, when we looked behind us to see huge rolls of tissue paper being unfurled from a beam along the balcony. The audience was putting up their hands and passing the paper forward down toward the front of the house. Within seconds, we were covered in piles and piles of tissue paper, all of it illuminated in crazy ways by the lighting. It felt a lot like that bedsheet effect we'd seen at Cirque du Soleil the night before. And it made me wonder if perhaps Vegas was going through its cover the audience with something genre of entertainment. In fact, the next night, we broke away from the strip altogether to see the Mariners and Cubs play an exhibition game right there in Vegas. Around the bottom of the fifth, a rare thunderstorm rolled in off the desert. And as the rain pelted down, giant blue rollers appeared behind us. The infield tarp came rolling out over our heads, and we passed it forward to the grounds crew down on the field. Okay, that last part didn't happen. But after seeing my two favorite baseball teams commit 5 errors over the first 4 innings, I was hoping it might. So you might be wondering, what is my problem with Las Vegas? It's easy to have a good time there. I think where Vegas gets the better of me every time I visit is just in the process of getting from one place to another. I think it's the sense of scale that gets me. Everything looks close together, but it's not. And if you visit when it's 110 outside, well, you're going to need some wheels. Taxi, get me into that gridlock and step on it! I'll never forget the time that Cindy and I tried walking to the MGM Grand. The sun was doing the casino's bidding by making us wonder what we were doing outside. You could say it was hot. I may have seen a vulture or two overhead. So there we were in front of Bally's. The MGM Grand still looked a long way off. We saw a sign, take the tram to the Grand. Okay, sold. We'd heard about this monorail thing. Never ridden it before, so now we will. A long moving sidewalk took us into the casino. We were joined by others who had the same idea. We all wanted out of that heat and onto that train. It was then, though, that Cindy and I first started to figure out how Las Vegas operates. They make it so hard to get from one place to another there. It's as if the casino is trying to break you down and get you to stop moving and start spending money. Our little group was like a school of fingerling salmon swimming down our home stream, trying to get to the open ocean. So many unnatural predators to deal with on all sides. Pulsing neon lights that tried to hypnotize us. A full frontal assault of advertising on multiple TV monitors telling us to go here, see that, gamble there, eat this. You know, average Americans are exposed to some 3,000 ad messages a day. But if you happen to be in Las Vegas, Nevada on that day, I'll see your 3,000 and raise you another 5. Next, our school of fish encountered its fiercest predator of all, the slot machine. One by one, members of our school were picked off by the wily one-armed bandits. The slots looked so enticing. Cindy and I, so tired. We needed something that would keep us moving forward toward the monorail. And we got it. There, up on the TV monitor. It had to be the 500th time we'd come across the ad for the Vegas show Mamma Mia. I couldn't listen to Dancing Queen one more time if you paid me. Must escape ABBA. Besides, the song was really messing with our whole fish metaphor anyway. No, we can't. We're fish. But thanks for the thought there, Benny and Bjorn. Now, where were we? Ah, yeah. We swam forward, trying to stay alert, and when our dwindling school of stragglers finally reached the monorail platform, we came to a depressing realization. We just swum half the distance to the MGM Grand, just getting through Bally's, and we'd have to cover the other half just to get through the MGM Grand once we got there. When the train finally arrived, a small smattering of adult migrating salmon disembarked. They looked tired, torn, beaten. We watched them swim slowly by. Then, exhausted and nearly spent, our measly school of survivors finally got our train ride and arrived at our destination, only to find more hungry slot machines lurking in the shallows with big, soft, comfortable chairs in front of each one, so cushiony, so inviting. And what was that vague burning sensation I felt in my pocket? Were those unspent quarters jangling around down there? I wonder what ABBA would do in this situation.
So I must leave, I'll have to go to Las Vegas or Monaco and win a fortune in a game. My life will never be the same.
ABBA, you're not helping matters here.
Money, money, money.
But hey, I kid Las Vegas. I love the place. I do. For about 36 to 48 hours, give or take. After that, I'd just as soon be communing with cactus. That's it for this edition of Hoytus Interruptus. Thanks for taking the time. I'm Jeff Hoyt.